which is really what the SDGs are all about. It's about building a better life for people. And the building blocks that are required for policymakers to be thinking about as we try to put these things together. And I've always tried to connect those experiences with the work that I do here in New York or the work that I do anywhere so that those things are connected.
Welcome to the GAC Files, a podcast about the people, issues, and ideas driving Global Affairs Canada. Bienvenue dans les dossiers d'AMC, un balado sur les personnes, les défis et les idées qui animent Affaires mondiales Canada.
Bonjour, chers auditeurs et chères auditrices, et bienvenue à ce balado portant sur les objectifs de développement durable avec l'ambassadeur Bob Ray. Je m'appelle Alexandre Lévesque, sous-ministre adjoint de la politique stratégique à Affaires mondiales Canada. Il me fait grand plaisir d'être votre animateur. In 2015, in a historic moment of global unity, the United Nations General Assembly launched the Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs. Over 150 world leaders and a total of 193 countries committed to work towards 17 goals that would make our world a better place. These goals build on the lessons learned from the Millennium Development Goals, which were established at the beginning of this century and focused on the root causes of poverty, hunger, and inequality. To talk about this important topic, we have a special guest today, who needs very little introduction. Bob Ray is Canada's ambassador and permanent representative to the United Nations in New York. Before his appointment as ambassador in 2020, he wore a great many distinguished hats, most recently serving as Canada's special envoy on humanitarian and refugee issues. And of course, Mr. Ray was the Premier of Ontario between 1990 and 1995. Ambassador Ray, warm welcome to the GAC Files.
Thank you very much. A great pleasure to be with you.
Ambassador, in full respect of Canada's Official Languages Act, I invite you to speak in the language of your choice. Mais sachant que vous êtes un francophile, je suis certain que nos auditeurs seront très heureux de vous entendre dans les deux langues officielles. Let's get started, Ambassador. And maybe for the benefit of our listeners, let's start with the basics. Let's explain what are the SDGs, and in particular, why should they matter to Canadians?
Well, the good thing about the SDGs is that they're not complicated. They're simple things like ending poverty, fighting inequality, ending conflict and corruption, tackling the climate crisis. You go down the list. They're a list of common sense objectives that you could say, yes, I agree that providing education for everybody is important. What's key about them, which is makes them a little bit different from the Millennium Goals, is that they really apply to everybody. This is not a prescription for poor countries only. This actually is a call to action for every country, including Canada. It relates to our own situation. So we're not talking about let's make Lagos, Nigeria more sustainable. It's about how do we make Toronto and Montreal and all of our cities more sustainable. And I think this is a key difference that is really quite exciting because it means that we can mobilize Canadians to support these goals and connect them to what they're doing in their own cities, what they're doing in their own way of life, wherever they may be living in Canada. And it also allows us to connect very directly with what's going on in other places. So we can talk and compare and chat with people around the world saying, how are you doing on this particular goal? How are we doing in this area? And I think it's a really key exercise in two things. One is it's an exercise in solidarity, which is critically important in the world today. It's something that's missing in a lot of our discussions. And the second is, as boring as it may sound, it's a very important exercise in measurement. Because unless we can measure things, we can't actually know how we're doing. So when we say, how are we doing? It's really important that we start to measure. And that means not just national governments, it means companies, it means cities, it means civil society organizations, it means provinces. And it means every segment of our society can start to have a sense of how are we doing. And Alexandre, you and I know that in our own lives, we have a simple, as I've said this in the UN, it caused a bit of surprise. I said, the simplest measurement I have is that I get on a scale every morning, and sometimes the news is good, sometimes the news is bad, but at least I know, relatively speaking, how I'm doing. A great philosopher said, the unexamined life is not worth living. We have to be constantly assessing how are we doing? How are we doing? And this is the temperature, taking the temperature of the world, measuring the world, doing all that all the time.
You raise an absolutely crucial question, which is the one of measurement. How are we doing with the SDGs?
Well, we're falling behind, which is no surprise, because I think it's important that there's another sort of feature of common sense is when we're facing a recession, people get sicker. When the countries are in poverty, the other measurements start to fall back. When the countries are in conflict, measures fall way, way back. So when you consider how much conflict there's been in the world and how much conflict there is in the world, it's inevitable that the SDGs are going to be facing trouble. When we take the world's temperature, we say, well, conflict has gone way up. Inflation is going up. Unemployment in many parts of the world is going up. So we've had COVID. We've had all these crises. All these crises have had a dramatic effect on the SDGs. There's no surprise there, but it's really important that we keep looking at this question of how we're doing, and then the question of, well, how do we get back on track? And that, I think, is an equally fundamental question for the global community.
Plusieurs observateurs, Monsieur l'Ambassadeur, ont justement fait allusion à ce dont vous parlez, l'impact que la COVID a eu, l'impact de crises multiples et cumulatives. Certains ont même parlé d'un déraillage des ODD, des objectifs de développement durable. Est-ce qu'il y a un rôle particulier que le Canada peut jouer pour aider à remettre les ODD sur la bonne piste?
Oui, certainement. Le premier ministre a été nommé comme coprésident de comité de conseilleurs au secrétaire général avec le premier ministre de Barbados, Madame Motley. C'est une opportunité pour le Canada de parler avec tous les chefs du monde, tous les pays du monde, avec la réalité de notre situation, c'est que les bouts de développement durable sont en grande difficulté, mais c'est pas surprenant. C'est une conséquence inévitable des conflits que nous avons. C'est là le moment de dire, alors qu'est-ce que nous devons faire pour vraiment essayer de retourner sur la bonne voie? Le changement climatique est là comme une force négative sur le développement durable, et nous le voyons partout. Une pandémie comme le COVID-19, naturellement, nous exige une réponse commune, une réponse globale, parce que c'est une crise globale. La pandémie n'est pas arrêtée au Canada, n'est pas arrêtée aux États-Unis où nous habitons, nous deux, mais quand même, on sait très bien que si ça existe toujours en Chine ou en Afrique ou ailleurs, ça restera toujours une pandémie. Et alors, ça exige une réponse globale. Et le conflit que nous voyons en Ukraine, l'agression russe contre l'Ukraine, ça a causé tellement de conséquences que nous voyons, l'inflation, et problème d'énergie et problème de production de la nourriture. Alors, on a quand même un grand nombre de problèmes. Ça veut dire que nous devons travailler ensemble pour rétablir l'importance. Mais aussi, le premier ministre peut parler au premier ministre des provinces pour dire, écoute, comment est-ce qu'on fait? Comment est-ce qu'on va au Canada? Et c'est tellement important pour nous de mesurer exactement où nous sommes. Et ça exige une réponse différente, franchement, même de la part du gouvernement canadien, à travers tous les départements du gouvernement. Parce que quand même, dans un budget, on devrait avoir une compte qui aura une crédibilité pour nous dire c'est là où nous sommes sur la question de la pauvreté au Canada, c'est là où nous sommes sur la question de l'inégalité, c'est là où nous sommes sur la question d'égalité entre les hommes et les femmes. Tous ces exemples, oui, ce sont des chiffres qui seraient importants, non seulement pour le grand monde, mais aussi pour le Canada et pour les Canadiens et Canadiennes.
You mentioned the Prime Minister's role in being an SDG advocate. I'd like to invite you and our listeners to listen to a short segment of the clip the PM recorded for the SDG moment at the UN General Assembly in September 2022, and I'll follow up with a question on that.
After decades of declining poverty rates, there are as many people living in poverty today as there were in 2015 when the 2030 agenda was adopted. The truth is that everything from COVID to climate change to international conflict makes the solutions we need more complex and interconnected than ever. But that isn't a reason to lessen our ambition. It's a reason to accelerate our efforts towards reaching our sustainable development goals.
There's the word interconnected. Ambassador, can you explain how the SDGs are interconnected, first of all, to one another, but also going back to what you were saying at the beginning in how they are connected to what we are trying to achieve domestically, keeping in mind that the SDGs are not just targets for developing countries, but that every country in the world aims to implement them.
For a long time, our economic model was based on one simple premise that the job of the economy is to produce wealth, to produce work and jobs, obviously, but that's the central function of the economy. Over many decades, indeed hundreds of years, but you've also got to recognize that if the way in which we produce wealth makes people sick, one of my favorite statistics is to talk to people about, you know, what was the most important invention in 19th century industrial England? And the answer is sewer systems, because it stopped people from getting sick. People were getting sick because we couldn't clear up the bacteria that was in our bodies. And if we couldn't get the waste out and figure out how to deal with waste disposal, then we would end up getting sick and die. So public health very quickly in the 19th century became critically important to industrial economies because it was necessary to keep people well so the economy could keep functioning in that way. The way I see it in the world today is there's a lot of talk now about the circular economy, which is another way of expressing the same thought, which is things are interconnected. So our school system is interconnected to our economic system. Our health system is interconnected to our economic system. Our economic system is connected to our pollution system. And our atmosphere is connected to our economy. We've been belching out carbon emissions for 400 or 500 years. And we're now suddenly, over the last 30 or 40 years, we've become aware of this phenomenon and the impact that it's having on climate. The planet is, as we know, circular, but everything around it is connected. It isn't possible to just be thinking about the economy as if it was some isolated thing that happened that was separate from everything else we do as a society. And what the Sustainable Development Goals do is bring them all together in this logic of interconnectedness. The wonderful thing about the SDGs is that it forces us to think in this way. And I have found even coming to New York and being involved in this process has helped me to clarify some of my own thinking and reflecting on global growth and how we work together and how these things fit together. You think there's a conflict over here. It has nothing going. Many of the conflicts in the world are created by climate change. You have people fighting because they're fighting over resources that are becoming more limited. You have people that are being forced to move because they can't get access to sustainable agriculture, sustainable work. And I think this concept of sustainability really speaks to everything. Our finances have to be sustainable. The way we produce things has to be sustainable. How we live has to be sustainable. And I think that's so critical for our thinking and also for thinking about the future, because we need to realize, as the saying goes, that we're really borrowing from future generations. And we need to understand that they have a stake in this as well.
Vous expliquez très bien comment les ODD sont interreliés. Il y en a 17. Je dirais que dans mon expérience et avoir observé l'évolution dans les dernières années, on dirait qu'il y a certaines ODD qui font plus l'objet des conversations. De votre côté, ambassadeur, dans les couloirs de l'ONU, est-ce que vous sentez qu'il y a certaines ODD qui, ces jours-ci, sont, on va dire, primus inter pares, sont un peu plus importantes que les autres, soit parce qu'elles font partie de la discussion du jour ou soit parce qu'elles prennent plus de recul par rapport aux autres?
Oui, naturellement, il y a des jours où on parle surtout des conflits ou la corruption, de toujours être au point qu'ils sont, tous connectés. Quand on a des économies qui sont vraiment durables, nous savons qu'ils auront la résilience de pouvoir répondre aux crises qui sont inévitables dans nos vies. Mais des économies qui n'ont pas la même durabilité, la même résilience, nous voyons jusqu'à quel point ils deviennent fragiles, trop dépendants sur un produit ou une ressource, et ça cause encore des problèmes énormes pour cette société. En même temps, nous voyons les systèmes de gouvernance et le problème de la corruption qui existe, la criminalité dans les affaires des gens ou dans l'économie privée ou dans l'économie publique. On voit que si on a une malhonnêteté qui est là comme un virus dans le système, ça cause tellement de problèmes sociaux. Alors, on doit reconnaître que ces problèmes sont connectés. On me pose la question souvent, quel est votre favori? J'ai dit, ben, moi, je n'ai pas de favori parce que je crois que l'important, c'est de voir qu'ils sont tous une priorité, que je pense que si on a une concentration sur l'éducation, surtout, je dirais que comme valeur ou comme politique, je dirais que c'est peut-être la plus importante parce qu'avec l'éducation, tous les autres deviennent possibles.
Ambassadors, for practitioners of foreign policy like you and I, SDGs are part of our work. It's important to not let it become purely a paper exercise. It's easy to lose sight of the fact that this is, at the end of the day, about the betterment of humankind. Is there anything you can share with our listeners about how you personally keep the human aspects of SDGs in mind as you advance Canada's priorities?
I think there were a couple of personal experiences that have influenced me the most, and I've talked about them before, but just to connect with you, when I left university in England, I became a community worker for a time in London. And that really brought home to me the simple reality that making improvements in people's lives every day is really important, and figuring out how to do that. And so when you look at the sustainable development goals, you say, well, what has that got to do with that story? And I say, well, actually, it's got everything to do with the story, because it was a story about homelessness. It was a story about lack of work. It was a story about how people get sick and have mental health problems and other problems when these things come home to them and they don't work out. And many years later, when the Prime Minister asked me to go to Bangladesh to look at the refugee situation, It was the same reality. You're trying to respond to a complete lack of any services, a complete lack of work, complete suddenly a million people whose lives are uprooted and are forced to go on a long trek and settle in empty land as refugees. And I was had the good fortune, frankly, to arrive there about 3 weeks after they got there. And so it was, everything was fresh in people's minds. And I remember that one person said to me, and I asked him, I said, what do you want me to take back and tell people about this situation? And he said, only one thing. He said, tell them we're human. And I think that's something that we all have to realize. We are all human beings. And that's the basis of our solidarity with one another. So why do we care? We care because the same thing can happen to any of us.
We've spoken a little bit about the setbacks. But I want to try, before we wrap up, I want to try to finish on a hopeful note or on a positive note. Ambassador, there's about 7 years to go. There's a little bit over 7 years to go before the target year of 2030. What gives you hope with regard to the SDGs at this particular juncture?
The reason for my hope is because there is a logic of necessity. We have no choice but to return to the table and to recognize the critical importance of working together to address these issues. There's a famous Italian political activist and philosopher who used to talk about how his mind was pessimistic, but his will was optimistic. And I think that's the way we have to be. We can diagnose problems and talk ourselves into a funk pretty easily. It's not hard these days. But the reality still is, above all, that the goals we've set for ourselves they're human goals. They're not like terrible abstractions. There are things that we can identify, like ending hunger is a very real goal. Ending homelessness is a real goal. And I think it's always just so important for us to realize that one of the things that the pandemic and climate change and the critical crises of aggression and war that we're facing are forcing us to do is to realize that we have to work together and to realize that we have no choice but to work together, because if we don't work together, then we really are giving up, and there's never an excuse to give up.
There's the note of optimism we were all looking for. Ambassador Ray, thank you so very much for sharing your time and your thoughts with us today. It was a real pleasure interacting with you. Merci beaucoup, Monsieur Ambassador.
Thank you so much, Alexandre. Grand plaisir de parler avec vous et j'apprécie beaucoup l'opportunité.
Pour de plus amples renseignements portant sur programme de développement durable à l'horizon 2030 du Canada, rendez-vous sur canada.gc.ca. To our listeners, thank you for listening to the GAC Files.
The GAC Files is a production of Global Affairs Canada. All opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individuals and not necessarily that of their employer or Global Affairs Canada. For more information on Global Affairs Canada podcasts, visit www.international.gc.ca. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast. Thank you for listening to the GAC Files. Les dossiers d'AMC sont une production d'Affaires Mondiales Canada. Toutes les opinions exprimées dans ce balado sont celles des personnes concernées et pas nécessairement celles de leurs employeurs ou d'Affaires Mondiales Canada. Pour plus d'informations sur les balados d'Affaires Mondiales Canada, visitez le site internet www.international.gc.ca. N'oubliez pas de vous abonner à notre balado. Merci d'avoir écouté les dossiers d'AMC.